2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports. KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte, on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. It's always an honor to talk to our next guest. He's entering his eighth year. Hard to believe, eighth year already. Head coach of the BYU Cougars. He is Kalani Sitake. Kalani, always a pleasure talking with you.
What's going on, Mitch? How you doing, bro? Thanks for having me on.
I'm always enjoy our conversations to chat. I gotta start things off with you, Kalani. That Big 12 schedule. First off, I'm curious. How long did you know about the Big 12 schedule?
I knew about the Big 12 schedule the morning before everybody else knew. I think there was a attempt to just keep things quiet until everybody knew. So I probably knew maybe a couple hours before everybody else. So I was okay with it. I just knew there was a bunch of different options, and I was just excited to see what it was going to be.
So Tom Holmo said, I believe that he knew about the schedule months in advance, so he didn't leak it to you at all?
No, man. We got to be trusting partners from our Big 12, and I don't mind Tom doing that. I had other things on my mind and things to take care of, but the way it worked out, I'm happy with it.
Your maybe just initial thoughts of, I know you're probably thinking about spring ball and at most, if you're looking at the schedule, Sam Houston, but just maybe your initial thoughts of that nine-game Big 12 schedule that you guys will be taking on this fall?
Well, just really excited. I think we knew that there was going to be a number of teams that we weren't going to play. And so I think the first thing was, who are we not playing? And then, are we getting the four games at home or the five games at home? And so when you look at that, it's like, okay, it matches up to what we want. But I think the thing that's, I mean, when I know we have priorities, things to look at first, spring ball and all that stuff, but they have the whole schedule there. So it's not like I'm going to give you coach talk and say, we're only focused on Sam Houston State. We're focused on the entire thing because it's still new. It's the first time we've been able to see it. And so there's a lot of excitement about it. And so that's even from our fans, it's even in our program, from our players and our coaches. And so we're making plans for it, and we're seeing the matchups and just planning for the season. I think there's a couple of years ago where we knew we were going to the Big 12, didn't know what the schedule was going to look like. And we try to hold it off as much as we can because we're trying to play a season, two seasons, in fact, you know what I mean? And now that we're here, it's like, hey, let's just enjoy it, love it, and have tons of happiness with it and see what we can do, make sure our team can get ready by the time we hit fall camp in August and get ready for this first game against Sam Houston State and obviously the nine in the conference.
Kalani Sitake is my guest. And Kalani, you know, I've always wondered, you know, because this is all kind of foreign to BYU. It's like kind of remembering how life is like in a conference. Just maybe what does that do to knowing who you're not, because there's going to be some years where you don't play certain teams, being in a 12-team or 14-team league this year. But how much do you think it can help the program having that continuity, that familiarity with certain teams and knowing how to construct a roster to go up against whether it be Baylor or whoever, it's going to be Kansas State, knowing what your layout is going to kind of look like each and every year?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I know that Tom is scheduling the for him has gotten a lot easier, and so for us, it's just having that the familiar opponents and knowing, whether the conference is 12 or 14, it's just knowing that you're going to play the certain type of teams from the same group. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then when you do that, you can – now you're playing for a lot of things. You're playing for bowl games. You're playing for championships in the conference, and you're playing for all conference accolades, things like that. There's a lot of stuff to play for, and it's good to be invited and be part of the conference because there's a we've been there before. We've been part of a conference, but now we're in the P5. Everything gets ramped up a little bit more, and so the excitement, the energy around it is going to be it's already happening. You can feel it from everyone. But the fact that we're going to be choosing, we're going to be playing from this group of players, group of teams, and then the fact that we'll establish natural rivalries with them, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's something that we've been missing for 12 years, obviously.
In what area, Kalani, has P5 affiliation ramped up the program the most? And that you can take it wherever direction you want to go, whether it's something obscure that fans maybe never see or something that could be tangible on the field or personnel. Like, what from your vantage point, what do you feel P5 affiliation to this point has ramped up BYU football the most so far?
I feel like I could answer that question in so many different ways. The thing that comes to mind right now is because of signing day is so new to us, right? That it just happens. And so what we want to do, when you're talking about just recruiting, there's people that we recruited and that we would never have a shot at getting before we were in the Big 12. And now we got them. There's guys, but and you look at the signing class, but then you look at the preferred walk-ons. And there's legitimate scholarship guys in this group of preferred walk-ons. It's amazing talent. And these guys have turned down scholarships to be here at BYU. And the fact that the Big 12 and being a P5, that had a role in that. That had something that brought a little bit more flair, a little bit more intrigue for these players. And when they came on the trip and they just feel like, hey, I can't pass up on this opportunity to go to the Big 12 and to play against such a great schedule and to play with this program and be a part of it. That's that right there. I can name those two things: recruiting and recruiting even your preferred walk-ons, adding to your roster. Look at the transfer portal guys. I mean, there's guys that we had that we signed from the transfer portal that are on our team that we had to beat legitimate P5s. We had to beat these guys to get these guys here. And when you go through the list, these guys had offers from Pac-12, Big 10, Big 12 schools, and we're over here signing them and bringing them onto campus, and the Big 12 had a lot to do with all of that.
It's interesting when you bring up the transfer portal recruiting, Kalani. Again, Kalani Sitake is my guest here on KSL News Radio. It's fascinating to me because transfer portal recruiting is just this quick deal where a guy might get an offer from BYU and then they're committing maybe in a matter of days after. It's such a 180 from maybe what football recruiting used to be back in the day. Like, I think back to you know, Lavelle was planting the seeds with a guy like Haloti Ngata as a freshman at Highland, and it took forever. Like, they were waiting for years to get someone like that, and now it's such a quick process now. Can you maybe take us behind the curtain a little bit about, like, the systems of what goes into landing a transfer portal prospect, because you guys landed a bunch of impact guys?
I think for us, the guys that we landed were guys that we recruited earlier and may have missed out or lost on some of them, or didn't have a scholarship for some, you know. And then there's a couple that weren't even on our radar, or that we couldn't reach before. And so they want to be here for the right reasons. They want to be a part of our program. They want to be a part of and live the lifestyle that BYU students live. They want to represent our program the way that the church wants us, with our mission. All the stuff that we do is what they want. They're in line with. And then you look at the variety of them and just the type of talent that they bring. I mean, the reason why it goes pretty quick for a lot of them is because we knew them from before. Like, let's say Aiden Robbins, for example. We recruited him when he chose between us and Louisville, went to Louisville. He already knew about our honor code, about everything, our academics. And when he went to UNLV, I mean, I think we had Chris Brooks here, and that's why he went to UNLV when he was in the portal. And then when they had a change, when Chris graduated, he's like, hey, I think I want to be there. And so there's already a connection that we made from before, much like what we had with Puka Nacua and Samson, those guys. And so a lot of these guys we knew from before. The guys that are brand new to it, we had to battle with them. We had to teach them a little bit more about our program, Keaton Slovis being one of them. But he already had an impression of our place when he played here way back. What was that, 2018?
19, yeah.
19, yeah, yeah. And so he had an impression of what this place was about. He also has connections to people. He's been around Jaron. He's been around Ryder Burton. He's been around John Beck. Those guys have all been involved in talking about our program. So these guys, is an easy transition for them. They want to be here for the right reasons. And so it went a little quicker. But some of the new ones, I'm thinking like, if you're looking at Ian Fitzgerald, for example, he had a lot of P5s that offered him, and he was on trips. And when he came on the trip here, we were like, man, I don't know if we can get him. But, he really liked what we had to offer and just really saw himself being here. And we want him. And then I give Coach Funk and A-Rod a lot of credit for that. So the entire group, they want to be here for the right reasons, but the majority of them were people that we were familiar with from before.
You brought up Keaton Slovis. I'm kind of curious, Kalani, with Jaron Hall now off to the NFL, how will that quarterback position be handled in spring and in the offseason? Is it a competition, or is it Slovis's job to lose?
Everything's a competition. You know, the only one that won't be in the mix of the QB competition will be Sojay, because he's moving to running back. But everybody else, with Keaton, with Jake Retzloff, with Ryder Burton, with Cade Finnegan, with Nick Phillips, those guys will all compete. And obviously, there's people in there that have a lot more experience, Keaton being one of them. And he's got tons of experience. And we'll see how this all shapes up. But they all know that there's a competition. But if you look at it from your perspective, you can see what we're trying to develop. And that's a competition, best guys play. But then there's also quality depth and guys that can really sling the ball.
Along with Sojay, any other position changes that you guys have made in winter to prep for spring?
I'm trying to think. I think we moved Caden Chittister to O-line. Mm-hmm. You know, he's 6'8", and we thought he could play D-line, but now where he's 6'8", 300, he's perfect. Looks like Blake Freeland. So, let's move him there and get him started there so he can learn a position and hopefully become a draft pick like Blake will become.
A few more moments here with Kalani Sitake. I wanted to ask you about Eddie Heckard, because he's a transfer guy that I don't recall him having connections to BYU before he signed with Weber State out of high school, but obviously strong ties to Jay Hill. What is BYU getting in Eddie Heckard? Because I think sometimes fans look at, oh, he's from Weber State, how good can he be? Mm-hmm. This guy seems like a big impact guy.
Well, We had to beat two Big 12 teams and two Pac 12 teams for him. So that's how big of a get he is. He's an All American player. Fessy had recruited him way back when, before Fessy came here, and obviously Jay's mentored and tutored him in defense. He knows how to play corner, safety, and nickel. So guys are very versatile. But he's a beast, man. He hits people, he knocks people down, causes fumbles. Great tackler, and he has the speed and the athleticism to cover slot receivers and outside receivers. So he's a guy that you can blitz. He's a dream when it comes down to creating a defensive system and a scheme. He's a guy that can fit in a lot of different places, and he wasn't easy. I mean, even his connection with Jay Hill, it was still a battle, and it went all the way to the end, to the end of signing. And glad that he was able to make the right decision in my mind, which is with us. And we're going to utilize him, man. He's a big time player, and he knows that he can test himself and his skills and prove to people that he can play at the next level.
Yeah, veteran guy in Heckert, I think he's going into his seventh year. But on the flip side, you got some young guys. Most notably today, you signed L.J. Martin, a running back from El Paso, Texas. He was signed back in December, but he made it formally announced in February. L.J. Martin, what can BYU fans maybe expect from the type of player L.J. Martin is?
Well, you don't want to put a lot of pressure on
Stansbury High School football players.
So that same type of mentality, he's probably a little bit more developed than most seniors in high school, and I think he's probably closer to being a player on the field as a true freshman than most running backs. But he's put together the right way, and I love his background. I just love how he's the toughness that he brings to the game of football. He's got a great football IQ as well, and obviously he's great academics. He was committed to Stanford for quite a while, and when it came to recruiting, we had to beat a lot of people for him, and I'm glad that he's part of our program, but a part of our family, and he's a great fit to us, and so I'm excited to see him run the rock for the Cougars.
Yeah, Kalani, I know that you don't make those comparisons. I know you're not putting pressure on him, but I think back to when you brought up Micah Harper. You drew a comparison to Diane Lake, and I think Micah Harper's turned out pretty good too, so I think definitely a big get getting L.J. Martin to sign with BYU. Well, Kalani, it's been a pleasure chatting, and looking forward to spring ball kicking off March 6th. That was exciting to hear that, and it'll be here before we know it. So talk again down the road.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Mitch. Go Cougs.
That's BYU head coach Kalani Sitake here on KSL News Radio. We'll react to Kalani's commentary next here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports. Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. KSL News time, 1:26 p.m. We're downtown Salt Lake Broadcast House. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. You just heard from BYU head coach Kalani Sitake, eighth year in the program. How crazy is that, man?
It's awesome. It's great.
Kalani's been around for a minute, and he's taken on a new challenge for this program. Maybe some of your thoughts from the head ball coach, what his commentary was on this BYU program.
Yeah, I always love hearing from Kalani, especially in the off season. It feels a little more open, a little more candid. I especially liked from Kalani Sitake when he, took us behind the scenes and talked about the schedule. And I thought it was interesting, too, that his first commentary was, who are we not playing? Kind of like, okay, we don't have to do any work on Kansas State, any work on
Baylor, too.
Baylor. Which they probably would have liked that, because it's like, hey, we got all these notes.
Jeff Grimes, Clark Barrington, Campbell Barrington.
Do you think it's sad for the Barringtons to not have BYU? Like,
yes. That was a great storyline game. I was hoping for that. But, I mean, at the same time, they're probably glad to not have it from just avoiding the storyline component.
Totally.
But you got to admit, I mean, they would have loved the chance to compete, and vice versa. BYU would have loved to have competed against those dudes. And
who would you have taken off the schedule for Baylor?
Texas.
No way. Take off that Texas is outrageous.
I'd take off Texas for Baylor.
That's the worst thing you've ever said on the show. That's horrible.
I believe in the Big 12 brand, Matt.
I cannot believe you just said that. To me,
why would not?
I would have taken off maybe Kansas for Baylor. Can you imagine if the first Big 12 game was Baylor?
You want to drop off a potential win for Baylor? I'm trying to think strategically to get to six
Baylor
wins.
Had a losing record last year.
Right. So BYU can beat them. Texas is probably going to be one of the best teams in the Big 12. Get them off the schedule.
I'm okay with it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great, and you know it.
It'll be fun, but is it fun if BYU loses 42-14?
No.
It's fun if Taysom Hill's hurdling over guys, yes. Hit the hurdle!
You don't think Slovis is going to be dropping a stiff arm and then hurdling someone at the goal line? It's not his MO. All right, we got to take a break on the other side. Actually, you know what time it is on the other side. The top
That's
five,
right.
Me and you, getting after it.
Let's go.
Back after this.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports. KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans for Cougar fans. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in. It's Cougar Sports Saturday. Been a great show. Man, I woke up today. The weather was nice. The sun was out. And I had this thought, Mitch. I've struggled in this upcoming segment for about a year. You've had a lot of success. I considered putting up a spy balloon in the producer's room just to get a sneak peek on the top five to get a slight advantage over you. I thought about it. Putting up a little balloon. Just to peek in on what's going to come next.
Well, unlike the China balloon that was shot down earlier today, you will not be shooting down my balloon. It's just going to keep flying up. Going to be flying to the top, the heights of the top five, coming up right here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
The Cougar Sports Saturday Top 5. Mitch and Matt clash in a weekly battle of BYU sports knowledge. Here's the Top 5.
It is the Top 5. We do it each and every week. Regardless if anyone is trying to spy and sabotage to get an advantage, me and Mitch, we'll have a list here from our producer, Nate Sock. We have no idea what this list is. It is BYU related.
Nothing in front of us.
No
data,
screens, no phone a friend.
No spy intel from a balloon.
Nothing. It's off the cuff. And so with that being said, let's bring in producer Nate Slack. Nate, how you doing, man? Let's see if we can get Nate Slack up here. Nate, try again.
You got me?
We got you.
All right. I'm doing great, Matt. I wasn't going to bring it up, but
the balloon?
You've struggled the last 6 months in the top five.
Oh, 6 months? We're going to take that.
Let's hear some trends.
It's been a while, but you did win last week.
Yes.
Today's top five, we're going to be sticking on the same trend of the Big 12. So 9 Big 12 games this fall, and we've played all 9 recently, semi-recently. But can you guys name the last 5 times we've played these 9 opponents? So,
we have to give you the season.
You have to give me the opponent. You have to give me the year. There's no duplicates. So, for example, UCF. UCF's not on the schedule this year, but BYU played them in 2020 and in 2014. So instead of saying 2014, it would be 2020.
The most recent time you played them.
And only the
And most, home or away, right?
And home or away. So the opponent, the year, home or away or neutral.
Of the 9 teams that's on the schedule.
Of the 9 teams that are on the schedule.
Okay.
So no duplicates. And Matt is starting today. Any questions?
No,
it sounds pretty straightforward.
Okay. And you don't have to get them in order. So just the opponent, year, and then home, neutral, away.
All right. Well, let's just get the easy ones out of the way then. On 2022 at home, Baylor.
Of the 9 teams BYU was playing, Matt.
Baylor is not on the schedule this year.
Yep.
Good point. All right. Wow. I wasn't paying attention. That's going to hurt.
It was not straightforward enough. That spy balloon is backfiring for you,
oh,
Matt.
Oh, no. Not the spy balloon.
2014 Texas.
2014 Texas comes in at number 3. So there are 2 more recent than that. But yeah, 2014 Texas, BYU comes out with a 41-7 win. That memorable Taysom hurdle over the Texas defender one of my favorite games in recent memory.
Great game, and it's one that I realized the magnitude of that game. The state of Texas always puts out a yearly annual Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. They had Charlie Strong on the cover, and on the caption of the magazine, it said, "Hey BYU, we're bringing the T back to Texas." I was thinking, they're gunning for BYU, the Texas Longhorns, and then we know what happened. Taysom Hill put that T in its rightful place.
Yes,
said, don't worry about that. We're taking care of business.
Matt, you're back. Mitch. Mitch got to take a 2-point advantage.
Yes, and I will. 2016 Cincinnati.
Home or away, Mitch?
Away.
2016 Cincinnati away is correct. That is the most recent game. That is number one on our list. BYU won 20-3. And, it'll be fun to have them on the schedule again this year. I'm a little disappointed that they're the home opener in the Big 12 slate for BYU. I thought it'd been more fun to have an original member.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a fun environment either way.
That Cincinnati game in 2016, I'll always remember Tommy Tuberville, now a senator, leaving the field. Some Cincinnati fan said, "You're stealing from us, Tommy. Go get a job." And he said, like, some choice words after that. BYU and Cincinnati, that'll be a good matchup.
All right, back to me. So I got home from a Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints mission in 2009. And one of my great regrets, I bring this up because at the basketball game on Thursday, I ran into my old mission president. And we were talking about the Big 12 and all these games, and I was selling him on going to the Texas game. And I'm like, one of my great regrets is not going to that blasted Oklahoma game in 2009. That was my first football game back. Why didn't it go? And he was like, "I went to that game." I'm like, "Gosh dang it, mission president." So 2009, Oklahoma neutral.
Comes in at number five on our list. I also missed that game. I went to the Tulane game the next week in New Orleans. Tickets were costy to fly out to Dallas for that game.
I should have taken out a credit card. I should have had some bad debt. Because that would have been a memory
you
of
were
a
at
lifetime.
The Superdome, Nate, for that BYU Tulane?
Yeah.
Wow, 50, you're the first 51, person I met 3. That was at that one. That's cool.
Yeah. So, Matt is on the board, down 2-1, and Mitch's turn.
This is often a forgotten game, but Taysom Hill was the quarterback of this game, and it was in an NFL stadium, BYU West Virginia 2016. Do we have a ruling? It was a neutral field at FedEx Field. 2016, is it good? Is that a yes? Boardock Dave.
It is
How
good.
How are we saying incorrect to that?
It is good. So 2016.
It was neutral.
2016 West Virginia was neutral at FedEx Field. Comes in at number two. BYU came away with a 32-35 point loss.
Yeah.
Late interception. Kind of hurt the Cougars, but yes, number two.
They did, and that was the most anticlimactic victory I've ever experienced in the top five. There, Dave, come on, give me that correct there. Thank you.
Let me save some dignity here. The other one was 2011 road. Actually, it was neutral TCU.
Yeah, that
Cowboy
was number
Stadium,
four.
And that was on the same night as like a World Series game, and I remember. It was a Friday night game, and I remember watching that, and I'm thinking, I'm probably one of like 30,000 people watching this game because everyone seemed to be watching. I think it was the Cubs, or not the Cubs. Who was in the World Series in 2011? That's beside the point. But it was just like a weird independence game. You're like, when is BYU ever going to play TCU again? Well, now we know.
You've got Dreiley Nelson giving a high five.
Yes.
Yes. Game.
That was the only highlight from that game that I remember.
The 2016 West Virginia game was not... The score was great as far as, like, you think, a lot of points on offense, but it just felt like there was no flow to that one. That was a Dana Holgorsen game, too, who's now the head coach at Houston. BYU has no history with West Virginia outside of that game, so I'm curious to see if that can turn into something. I'm so fascinated to see if it's true, the stereotypes about West Virginia fans are true, where they, like, burn couches. They are just belligerent. I'm curious to see if that is truly the case because we've sometimes seen that as being close to BYU because we've dealt with the Mount West before. We've seen Pac-12 venues before. There's some belligerent fans, so there's a little bit of a baseline for that. But BYU in the Big 12, it doesn't happen as often as you think. And you would, with the conservative values in these schools, you would think it happens more, but you go back through history, it doesn't happen very often when BYU faces these teams.
Number six on this list, actually, you got to go back a little farther. So number five on the list was 2009 Oklahoma. Number six is 1992 Kansas. So there was a pretty wide gap between playing a Big 12 school.
Aloha Bowl, Kansas. I think Tom Young was the starting quarterback. Steve Young's brother, his only career start. I think the reason I know that, too, it's fresh on my memory, is because Sol Jay, when he started in the New Mexico Bowl, he was the first-time starting QB in a bowl game since Tom Young in the 92 Aloha Bowl. BYU lost. I think Kansas had Dana Stubblefield in that game. That was a good Kansas team. It was a Christmas Day game. But, yeah, BYU in the Big 12, just it doesn't happen much. And it's also interesting, too, you kind of go deeper into these games. Oklahoma State, the regular season finale, first time it's going to be a regular season meeting. They've only played in bowl games. Fiesta Bowl in 74, Tangerine in 76. They just don't play very often. And that's what makes this schedule cool, too, yeah. Matt, is that BYU is going to face teams that they haven't seen in maybe forever. And it's also still kind of a little piece of independence where you're still doing a little bit of kind of coast-to-coast football. I know the West Coast is being ignored this year. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of traveling. So this national fan base can still see BYU in all parts of the country pretty much.
While we have you, Nate, and congrats to you.
Thank you.
I knew that it was over for me when I didn't follow the instructions at the beginning. Yeah. Anyways, a win is a win. It doesn't matter what happens.
Thank you.
While we have Nate, though, what is your favorite Big 12 game on the schedule?
Oh, it's Texas, for sure.
It's Texas. Let's go.
Here's the reason it's Texas. I was in my mission in 2013 and 2014, and so those big Texas games with Taysom, I didn't get to see live. Oh. So I'm really excited to be able to go to Austin and check out that stadium. That's what
Assuming
I'm looking forward
to. Assuming you get tickets to that game. Nate,
where did you serve your mission, Nate?
El Salvador.
That's right. That's right.
So I was in the Mexico MTC in 2013 with Tanner Mangum. Oh. And we're searching the interwebs trying to find what's going on for the Texas game, and all we could find is that it was delayed.
You know what? this is a deep cut on that game before we get to break. The best play from that game didn't count.
Yeah.
It was Taysom Hill's run where he broke contain and went outside and scampered for like 70 yards. It was In a lot of ways, it was flashbacks to what happened in Provo. There was a bogus holding call, I think, on Jordan Leslie on that play.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't count, but that play, even more so than the hurdle to me, was just an impressive display of his speed and athleticism.
That 2014 game, too, it felt like in that moment BYU was going to run the table.
Yep.
I just thought the schedule's weak by independent standards. Strength of schedule's there. BYU's going to run the table. Taysom Hill's going to be a Heisman finalists. I that's what I thought. I mean, that had that feeling. And then you see Taysom taking photos afterwards with Jim, and you're like, the two goats aligning. BYU fandom is just going off the rails right now. This is – what is going on? And it's just – that was an amazing moment for BYU. And it also does highlight, too, simply playing some of these logos. And I hate to get caught up in the logo on a helmet, but simply playing that team – gives you a stage that just you don't get typically. Like, if BYU wins at Texas, that'll be a key story in the national college football conversation that week, regardless of what Texas is. That it could be, oh, Sark maybe gets fired. I don't know, but it'll be a key storyline, and that's what makes that game big. Even though I wasn't like, I don't need it. You know, I want to enjoy these new Big 12 teams, but we'll get plenty of that in the future, and that will be a big game for BYU this October.
All right. Thanks, Nate. Good stuff. I wish you had paid attention. And congrats to Mitch on the win. We'll take the break on the other side. We'll keep reacting to this Big 12 schedule that came out earlier in the week. And then maybe we'll turn the page eventually to hoops. And also at 2:30, we've got BYU's newest running back, L.J. Martin, joining Cougar Sports Saturday to talk about his commitment. He'll be joining the team for this first year of Big 12 football. Back with more after this.
Again to Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. We're watching the Senior Bowl right now. It's the premier all-star game, and unfortunately, Jaren Hall not playing. He's not even in Mobile, Alabama. Apparently left, according to reports from the Senior Bowl reporters. that are down there on location. Kind of a tough week a little bit for Jaron. There was three BYU guys at the Senior Bowl.
Tough week for all three.
Yeah, Blake Freeland. Puka had a good first day. Didn't see him day three in practices watching some of that Senior Bowl. But we'll see what happens for Jaron in the NFL draft process. We'll kind of keep eyes on that.
I still believe this with Jaron. He's going to win some people over with interviews. I think we've seen a real trend in the past five or so years in the NFL where I'm not saying talent's not important, but there's no more Bakers and Johnny Manziels. Just if there's red flags, if there's issues, we're spending too much money. There's too many people's jobs on the line to be messing around with that. You need an adult. Because you look at the guys in the Super Bowl right now, Mahomes is, he's amazing, but he's also the epitome of a pro. Teammates love him. Coaches love him. Same can be said about Jalen Hurts. And if you even go back to the Final Four teams, Brock Purdy, I think, is a guy who, you know, he was drafted really late. But, boy, do the teammates love Brock Purdy. Yeah. That coaching staff loved him because of what he was an adult. Like, there was no funny business with Brock Purdy. It was all ball. And on the other side as well, Joe Burrow, same thing. It's all ball. So I think that when he starts to interview – I think it's going to come back around that, hey, this dude's going to – he's going to work hard. He's going to be liked by the teammates. There's not going to be any of those problems. However, with that being said, the fact that no one knows what's going on at the Senior Bowl is a little concerning. So hopefully he can rebound from that. But his stock I don't think is going to rise like it could have if he had played great and then played in this game.
Let me ask you this. We've talked a lot about the Big 12 schedule today, and if you missed any part of the show, I highly recommend you go listen to our podcast, Cougar Sports Saturday, on KSLSports.com and the KSL News Radio app. Jaron did have a year to come back.
As did Blake and Puka.
Yeah. With him not having the Senior Bowl week that maybe he had hoped, and maybe his stock maybe staying in that day three threshold, because that's what it felt like it was kind of going into Senior Bowl. That's at least what the Matt Millers, maybe some of the Mel Kuypers were saying heading into Senior Bowl week. Do you think he should have came back at BYU? I know that the story's still to be written for Jaron. There's a lot of process. There's the combine. There's the pro day. But maybe just instant gut reaction from the Senior Bowl week. Do you think he should have ran it back one more year at BYU?
So day three is a big range, right? Because that's 4 to 7 rounds. Mm-hmm. If he's a 4th or 5th round pick, I think he did the right thing. Because I still feel like you can get into a good situation and all it takes is one injury, and if you play well, off you go. Because he is older. There are some injury concerns. If he slips to 6 or 7, he did not make the right decision, especially with NIL on the table, Mitch. He would probably made more money at BYU and NIL than what he would get paid as a 6th or 7th round draft pick. So jury's still out. Just because he's not playing in the Senior Bowl doesn't mean it's doom and gloom for Jaron Hall. But it is getting a little more interesting because when he left, I thought, oh, slam dunk, great decision. He's going to be a 3rd or 4th round draft pick. But now you're kind of wondering what is going to happen to Jaron Hall on his draft stock.
And it is tough, too, because Jaron, the last time he played was against Stanford in November. He suffered an ankle injury, and he missed the New Mexico Bowl. I'm of the belief that Jaron would have played in that New Mexico Bowl had he been healthy. I don't think this was an opt-out deal. I think Puka was more the opt-out scenario where he could have played. I know he was dealing with injuries, too, but I think he was more the opt-out side of things with the New Mexico Bowl. I think Jaron would have given it a go because he's just that guy. He if he's healthy, he's going to compete. He's kind of like that old-school mindset. It's not load management with him. He's going to play if he's healthy. But he's still coming back from that ankle injury, and you wonder how much of an impact that's had in this whole week. Look, Jaron Hall, the thing I will say about him, if he gets a shot at any NFL team, he's going to make the most of it. It's like Taysom Hill. Don't bet against that guy because he will prove you wrong. I just hope that he gets the draft stock that I think he deserves. I think he's a 3rd or 4th round guy. I really agree. I honestly thought he could be a late 1st, 2nd round guy. I'm just really high on Jaron Hall, and I feel like his senior year got a little bit spoiled because BYU's defense was pretty bad. I mean, it was disastrous by BYU standards. And he was banged up, nicked up throughout it. He gut checked it in that month of October and did as much as he could. But, you know, I just hope he has that great story, kind of like what Taysom Hill has experienced. And I know Taysom's story is still not ideal. He should be a starting QB, in my opinion, but I want Jaren to succeed in the NFL.
Let's not forget, last time Jaren played healthy and against a decent team, he looked great against Boise State. That Boise State defense was good, really good, one of the best in the Mountain West. And he tore him up and had great plays in that game. So Jaren Hall, it's easy to – I think the point you make is a good one, Mitch. It's easy to think about 2022 being a disappointment, and it was. It was a disappointment. But Jaren Hall had a great year. His numbers improved. He threw for more yards. His TD to INT ratio got better. He had a great year. And I just hope the Senior Bowl doesn't set him back too far. So
NFL Combine coming up in March, and then Pro Day. We'll see the story still to be written on his NFL draft prospects going forward in this process. We'll take a break on the other side. We'll talk some BYU hoops here on Cougar Sports Saturday.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.